Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as we uncover the truth around Tchouaméni and why Michael Carrick wants three more after Ederson. A left back over a left winger is the story overnight. Also, we'll be reacting and looking at this Rashford issue that now is happening with Barcelona. Apparently, there is now competition for Baleba. Do you fall for that spin? We'll talk about that too as well. And don't forget, we've got Ben Jacobs live on the show at 2 o'clock today. So if you've got any questions, you want to go into that. I think we're going to get some very big stories this afternoon that'll be live at 2 o'clock. But look, let's fly straight into the show. And also, why are Man United not looking at Adam Wharton? This is a question that we've heard from a few people. And if we've got time, I saw a brilliant tweet on the United Stand this morning about what is your hot take about Manchester United for the next season. Somebody actually said, my hot take is Man United have got more chance of winning a league without Bruno Fernandes. And I thought, oh my God, is that the definition of stupidity? Or is it the hottest take? I can't even see it. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you're doing very well. Let's start off with Real Madrid. Let's start off with Tchouaméni, because we've probably got something for you this morning that nobody else is really talking about. And sometimes you have to leave Manchester United to understand the background of a story, especially when it comes to transfers. It's a big hint. So in relation to Tchouaméni, we spoke a little bit about it last night. But in fact, I think it was Ben Jacobs this morning talking about Tchouaméni and basically saying that Manchester United, if they do not get Elliot Anderson, he basically said, I still think with Ederson, the second name to come in will have a proven Premier League experience. Now, I didn't like this from Ben Jacobs, and we do need to clarify it at 2 o'clock, because he said, I still think along with Ederson, the second name to come in will have proven Premier League experience. What do you mean the second name? I thought we were getting three. I don't like the idea of two. Ederson and whoever, I do not like that. Do I not like that? But look, I want three. But he says, and the only caveat to that on proven Premier League experience will be if Tchouaméni becomes available. But if you discount him, Anderson is still the number one target, but Man City are the favourites. So look, basically Ben Jacobs saying this morning that with Ederson, there will be an experienced Premier League proven midfielder that comes in. The caveat being Tchouaméni being the dream. But if that can't happen, then Anderson would be the one they want. And if that doesn't happen, I want to know the answer to that question. And I think we need to ask Ben Jacobs that at 2 o'clock. But on Tchouaméni, I think that it's really important to just tell you this, right? Man United want him over anybody else. He is their dream. Elliot Anderson, I think, is the player they want, but I think it would be a very interesting conversation in the boardroom if Jason Wilcox walked in and said, Anderson wants to come and Tchouaméni wants to come, because the board wouldn't say get both, and then they've got to make a decision to make. I think they really like Tchouaméni. The issue that we've got here is that there is a timeline to follow. Anderson is going to make his mind up imminently, I think. Otherwise, it's going to go to the back end of July because he's going to go to the World Cup. We want speed. We want things to happen quickly. Ederson's going to happen very, very quickly. Ederson probably is the deal I spoke about last week that we got told about, that Man United are going to do a big deal before the World Cup. I think it's probably going to be Ederson. Will we get anybody else done before the World Cup? Well, Anderson is probably going to change his mind. Hopefully he's going to change his mind and join Man United. Anderson is going to make his mind up, I think, very, very soon. And that could or could not go our way. If Anderson decides to sign for Man City in the next week or so, will we go and get Tchouaméni really quickly? No, is the answer. Because there is something going on at Real Madrid that is going to drag this out beyond the World Cup, probably. And that sort of poses the question, well, do we look at other things or do we stay in that race? Now, I think some people will know this, but a lot of people won't. Real Madrid, their president is Florentino Perez. He has been their president since about 2009. There are formal elections every 4 years, but normally Perez is unopposed and it's a very simple period. And it's, I think it's between May 14th and May 20th, 23rd. There's a 10-day window for candidates to make their applications. Enrique Riquelme has challenged Perez as president. Club statutes dictate that when there are multiple candidates, so they've got Riquelme and Perez who want to be the president, they have to be registered for voting, which must be in the next 15 days. So effectively, the official election day for presidency of Real Madrid is expected to be around June the 10th, maybe a little bit earlier than that. Because Real Madrid is not a football club that's privately owned. It has official members totaling around 100,000 people. So they're run like a democracy. It's a sports association owned entirely by its members. So Real Madrid are going to go through this presidential election voting process going up until about the 10th of June. That is why Jose Mourinho has not been announced as Real Madrid manager, because Perez wants Jose Mourinho. But if this new guy gets in, then there could be changes on that. Now, how does this impact on Manchester United? Well, it's huge, because this new guy apparently has some players lined up, and Perez has some players lined up. Names like Rodri, Enzo Fernandez, Vardiel, they've all been mentioned. But Tchouaméni's not going to be told whether he's staying or going before the World Cup, basically. So I think it's quite a significant update, because United clearly would love to sign Tchouaméni, but if you know what's going on at Real Madrid, like somebody said, I think it was last night's show, why can't we just get a decision on Tchouaméni? Well, that's why we can't get a decision on him, because Real Madrid are going to go through these presidential elections. And when that's over, only then will things start to happen, by which time he's going to be in the States, part of the French World Cup squad. So Tchouaméni could be a little bit like Pogba. I think that was a World Cup year. I think it was a World Cup year. I can't remember. So look, it's going to be that Man United want to do that deal. And they've made it very, very clear they want to do that deal. And Real Madrid know we want to do it. And Tchouaméni knows we want to do it. But they don't know whether they want to sell him. We're just going to have to wait and see on that one. So I think that, look, Carrick definitely wants another three players, probably another two midfielders and one other. He needs about six players, at least, not four, but three more deals is what he wants. Tchouaméni is the player that Man United and Carrick want, but they're going to have to wait on that one. What I would do if I was Man United is I'd get this Edison deal done, I'd get the Fernandes at West Ham deal done, and then I'd give myself a little bit of time for that star signing. Because if Anderson goes to Man City, Tchouaméni is still a possibility. Hopefully, Tonali is still a possibility. They might do something crazy with Bruno Guimaraes. But look, it reveals what's going on with Tchouaméni. We can't sign him at the moment. There's just no way Real Madrid are going to do anything at the moment before those presidential elections, and that's why Jose Mourinho is not in place. And also, if Perez wins, which he might do, and Mourinho comes in, he's probably still on holiday. So it's not like Mourinho is going to sell Tchouaméni straight away. So I think it could be, if Man United do a deal for Tchouaméni, we'll probably find out that Edison's going to Man City quite soon. And then the Tchouaméni deal could take quite a while if we're going to do it. So yeah, interesting. What about Adam Wharton? Adam Wharton's quite interesting. I mean, look, funnily enough, I did a little bit of digging on Adam Wharton. Obviously, Crystal Palace won last night. There's not a lot about Adam Wharton. I mean, the last update from Man United, and the reason I'm answering this is because a lot of people watched Palace last night and said, why are Man United not looking at Wharton? He's so good. I mean, he is playing in the Conference League against Rayo Vallecano. But, you know, he is a decent player. Palace want decent money for him. Iriola might be going to Palace, by the way, which I think is incredible. Bournemouth to Palace, but they will be in the Europa League, I suppose. And so will Bournemouth. The odds, I had a quick look at Wharton. We said he's too similar to Mainoo, which I think is bollocks. Liverpool were looking at him, but funnily enough, he's odds on to stay at Crystal Palace for another year. So I think that's probably why it's gone a bit quiet on Wharton. Not going to the World Cup. So, you know, he's not going to get that World Cup glow up. He may end up going somewhere else. I wouldn't be surprised if a Chelsea or a Liverpool made a move for him. Funnily enough, when it comes to odds, we're 6-1 to sign Wharton. Chelsea are 7-1 with Liverpool, and Real Madrid are 8-1. So look, we might move towards Adam Wharton, but I suspect it's probably not the deal that Man United are going to look at, if I'm being completely honest. I think it's... I just don't think we're looking at Adam Wharton. Now, there was a story this morning, just before we move on to more serious stuff, there was a story this morning that it was all to do with Brighton. I think it was Ekrem Kuna, who I think is, you know, some people think talks total crap. Some people think he's, you know, he's quite good. The winger at Hoffenheim, Torre, is being linked with Brighton, who we've been linked with. And then Spurs, De Zerbi, former Brighton manager, is looking at Belaiba and Van Heek to go to Spurs. So a couple of stories that sort of link in with us in relation to the fact that we've been linked to Hoffenheim's Torre, the left winger. He could be heading to Brighton, which makes me think he's a good player if he's going to Brighton. And but Tottenham could be looking for Belaiba. Now, remember, I've always said there is no competition for Belaiba. Well, there's still no competition for Belaiba if Spurs want him, is there? So Jim says, please, Spurs, do it. Look, I think that sorry, someone said, why are you ignoring the chat? I'm just having a quick look at the chat and there's actually no consistent message in the chat. So sorry about that. You get a few morons in the chat, unfortunately. So let's get back on track. So I think in relation to Belaiba, it's not really a transfer battle, is it? Because Spurs is not a battle. They're not in Europe and they're Spurs. So if United go for Belaiba, he'll come to Man United. But I don't think anybody else wants him. I don't think anybody else wants him. I think it's a load of nonsense. I don't think Spurs need him anyway. They've got better players than him. I think Bergvall's better than him. Polina's better than him. Bentenka's better than him. Who else have they got in the midfield that's better than him? Sarr's probably better than him as well. So I don't see anything in that. I don't think anybody wants him. Maybe it's a bit of spin to try and make it look. Maybe we're meant to go, oh, quick, move quickly before Spurs get for him. And I'm sort of like, good, take him. I'd love to see Spurs get relegated again. So no, I don't think there's anything in that. A couple of people in the chat did mention Stiller. I think in relation to Stiller, I've heard absolutely nothing. Let me have a quick look and see if there's anything around Stiller being reported at the moment. No, Nagelsmann's been talking about Stiller and having a key role for Germany. Juventus were looking at him. 50 million euro price tag. I think the only club that's really looking at him in any shape, way, shape or form at the moment is Juventus, which I think is a step down from Stuttgart. Honestly, I really do. So... nothing about Stiller at the moment. Do you think Gordon deal affects Hall Tonali signing, says United Hub? Well, we're not signing Lewis Hall anyway. That was just made up by people. We're not signing Lewis Hall. There was a very interesting update last night, though, that leads nicely into. So let me just see where it was. Here it was. It was Laurie Whitwell in The Athletic. Cunha has grown into his role on the left. Well, I mean, this is subjective, but let me just read it. Cunha has grown into his role on the left wing, while Dorgu has offered plenty in that position since Carrick's arrival. United are looking at the left-hand side of their team during the window, but fullback seems the likeliest spot for an arrival. So, second time we've sort of heard that in a few weeks. It's to do with that left-hand side. I don't necessarily think we're going to sign a winger, if I'm being completely honest. It looks like we're going to stick with Cunha and Dorgu and look at a left-back. So, somebody just said about Alvarez and Barcelona. We'll come on to that next because Barcelona are preparing a first official bid for Alvarez to be sent soon and without any players included. Rashford's not going to be staying at Barcelona, is he? Also, Bournemouth have offered a new deal to Scott as they want the midfielder to stay. Clear desire by a new manager, seen as crucial player. That's terrible news for... terrible news for Rashford, that is, isn't it? We'll talk about that in a moment. Well, we can sort of bring it into this. So the feeling coming out of United in the last few days from a few sources, and I've noticed it and I'm sure you have as well, is that we're not going to buy a left winger. We're going to buy a left back. I don't think Cunha is settled into the role, if I'm being completely blunt. I think honest conversations need to be had in the summer because we haven't got any games. So the summer is the opportunity to be ruthless, aggressive and honest because we haven't got any games. So Cunha's in the World Cup. It doesn't really matter. I don't think Cunha's settled into the role on the left wing at all. I think if you look at the goal we scored, I think it was against Forest. I think it was the winning goal. Cunha drifts inside. Bruno drifts out wide. Cunha gets the ball out wide to Bruno. Bruno puts the cross in and it ends up with Mbeumo scoring. So I don't think Cunha's settled in on the left-hand side at all. I think he's a square peg in a round hole. I think he's managed to score some goals, but he's woefully out of the game on the wing. I don't think it suits him at all. Dorgu on the wing, that's something a little bit different. So, do we need to buy left winger when we've got Dorgu and Cunha out there? I don't think so. Matt says, Cunha said that he was settled in. I go for what Cunha said. Matt, you don't listen, do you? Please piss off. Like, what are you talking about? So if you tell me you're happily married to Margot Robbie and I speak to her and say, I can't fucking stand Matt, he's boring. That's what I'm talking about. Of course, Cunha can say he's settled on the left wing all he likes. I watch the games. I don't think he's a left winger. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's settled in as a left winger. I think he's better playing more centrally. I think he's being played out of position. I think Mbeumo up front is being played out of position. And I'm sure Mbeumo would play, say, I'm settled as well. You either listen or you don't listen. I like Cunha. I think he's a brilliant player and I think he's been a really good signing. I don't think he's a left winger. I think he's being played out of position to accommodate him in a team that doesn't have a position for him in his best position anymore. I personally would rather play Cunha as a false nine than play him on the wing. So Cunha saying he likes playing on the wing, I couldn't give a shit. Luke Shaw likes playing at left back for Man United. I wouldn't pick him. So if you think he's a good left winger, fine. But don't come on here going, well, Cunha says he's settled in, so that'll do for me. Nah. You're a sheep, mate. You need to watch football and make your own opinions because footballers will say what suits them. And Cunha will be happy because he's playing for Man United. I think he's better playing more centrally. I think we need to buy a left back. I'm quite happy to use Dorgu and Cunha on the left-hand side, but I don't think Cunha's a left winger. I'd rather pick Dorgu over Cunha, in my opinion. Anyway, slight digression, it doesn't look like we're going to buy a left winger. And we could be bringing Marcus Rashford back. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it feels like the push at the moment could be a left back. Now, the interesting thing about the left back is it could be quite a cheap deal. It could be quite a cheap deal because I don't think we're going to spend 40, 50, 60 million pounds on a Truffert or a Lewis Hall or anybody like that. I think we're going to end up spending somebody who is a little bit cheaper than that. I hear the words Luke Shaw understudy, and it makes me want to cry, but I think we will bring a left back in, but I don't think we're going to go and buy a Lewis Hall or a Truffert from Bournemouth. And that then presents the question, who would the left back be? I don't know. I genuinely don't know who that left back would be, but it looks like we're going to go for a left back over a left winger, which I don't mind, actually. I don't mind doing that. As I said, Cunha and Dorgu as options on the left wing next season. You can't solve every problem. And Ahmad can play off the left wing as well. So I'm not that bothered about a left winger. But we need to buy a good left back. We need to buy a good left back. Naveen says, Barca are going to bid for Juventus. They're not going to go for Rashford, says Neve. I mean, look, this is breaking news and it sort of fits in with United because we might end up with a left back back at Man United in Marcus Rashford. As we know last night, Anthony Gordon is going to Barcelona. They're now bidding for Alvarez.
I think that's the end of Rashford, surely. I feel so bad for him, really, because since getting away from Man United, his career trajectory has been a lot better. He had that Villa loan, then the Barcelona loan. He's done really well. He's got back in the England team. He's happy in Barcelona. You know, he doesn't want to come back to Man United. And Barcelona have basically done him, haven't they? I mean, you know, he's worked really hard. He's scored some goals. He's done well for them. And they've basically gone, yeah, thank you very much for that, but you're too expensive. We're going to get somebody else. And I think that, you know, it's the harsh reality of football, isn't it? You know, you can think that you're back and you're bouncing back. And Barcelona, who aren't notorious for moving quick, to be fair. I mean, Alvarez and Anthony Gordon before the end of May is fast, very, very fast. But I, you know, I'd have to say the latest around Rashford was that it doesn't impact the possibility of him staying if they sign Anthony Gordon. But if they sign Alvarez as well, I think we've got to get a bit realistic about that. Lee Berman says maybe Bayern will go for him. I think he'd do well at Bayern as well. I think Rashford at Bayern would be intelligent. It'd be very intelligent, and I'd love the Bundesliga foot coverage next year with Marcus Rashford at Bayern Munich. But I think it's disappointing for him. It's disappointing for United. What Barcelona may do is say we do want Rashford, but we want him on loan. And look, Barcelona, we've got a good relationship with Real Madrid. We haven't got a good relationship with Barcelona. Barcelona are, you know, they've took the piss here. Barcelona are free to do what they want to do, but they've not operated in the the code of the deal was he goes to you for a year. If he does really well, it's a £25 million fee. We didn't get a loan fee for Rashford. They just covered his wages. He has gone to Barcelona. He has done well. And they've gone, nah. We'll have him on loan for another year, but we're not going to buy him. And I think good faith, Warrior, that's the word. So I think that the hardest thing is going to be for Rashford. I think what he needs to do is figure out what he wants to do. Now, a lot of people are saying, what about him coming back to United? There's actually big problems with this. There's grown-up conversations, right? I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, they said, I can see a situation in late July where Rashford comes back from the World Cup. There's an interview where he says he's back home. The club and Carrick say, I've always admired Marcus and it's a big season for everybody. I can see why people think that could happen. But in reality, I think that there are some major barriers to Marcus Rashford coming home. And the factual barriers will be this. His wages will be north of 315 grand a week. It might be 350 now that we're in the Champions League. That is huge. You remove Casemiro and then you bring Rashford in. The club will lose their shit about paying £1.4 million a month in wages. So that's a massive problem. Second problem is Rashford himself not being too keen on certain people at the club and how he was treated. Third problem is he'd be coming back having to prove himself again because his shirt number's not there and his place in the team isn't there. Fourth problem would be, how does he consistently get a place in the team? Because you're going to have to bench a Cunha or a Sesko or a Dorgu or an Mbeumo to accommodate Rashford. Fifth problem is, stylistically, I think he suits La Liga and the Bundesliga and the Italian League and the French League more than the Premier League, because if we're being completely honest, I don't think there's much between Anthony Gordon and Marcus Rashford. And it'd be very interesting to see what Tuchel thinks in the World Cup. The only difference is Anthony Gordon works really hard defensively and Rashford's never really been that. So they're problems, I think, in a Man United side as to why he wouldn't come back. But overarchingly, I don't think United want him back and I don't think he wants to come back. So it would be a big turn of events for him to be back at Man United. And also, I didn't mention it there, you bring him back. How many times has it worked when you bring somebody back? You know, all the press interest, half the fan base don't want him back. Maybe he doesn't want to be back. I just think it would be You know, Carrick's got enough scrutiny without doing something like that. I think it would be massively naive of Carrick to push for that. And if he does, you know, it's on him. Bayern Munich would be an interesting move. I do think Rashford's been done by Barcelona, though. If they don't keep him or they don't sign him, I think he's been done over by Barcelona, really. But I can't see how they're going to keep him with Anthony Gordon and Alvarez going in. So that's one to watch. But, you know, before we move on to the next one, absolutely, if Bayern were looking at Anthony Gordon, Marcus Rashford's a very interesting deal. And I watch a lot of Bundesliga. I'm sure a lot of you do on That's Football With Me. He would do well at Bayern Munich. I mean, Nicholas Jackson was playing for Bayern Munich. So Marcus Rashford would be a very, very good signing for Bayern Munich. So maybe something can happen there. The problem's going to be his wage, I think. Barca to bid for Julian. They ain't going to go for Marcus. Barcelona just submitted a bid for Alvarez. It's looking like Rashford is coming back. Thank you very much, Mohamed. Nuno would be a good left winger, but he's a top attacking left back. We are wasting an overlapping fullback in Dorgu, in my opinion. He's never played in a four, says Inder. I will say this bluntly. I think Dorgu as a left back will end up being a flop. I think Dorgu as a winger will end up being a hit. And I think we all know that. And I think anybody who's saying that, ooh, is Dorgu a left back or a left winger? When he was playing at left back, he was getting absolute pelters. People were calling him dog shit. When he went to the wing, everyone who was calling him dog shit were like, oh, I like Dorgu. Can I just shock you? So I think he's a winger. That's where Dorgu should play. And the great thing about Dorgu as a winger, and we mentioned it with Anthony Gordon, he has defensive qualities. So he will work really hard. We have a good chance to sign two top-class midfielders in Tchouaméni and Stiller for about 120 million, which leaves us with another 30 to spend on a midfielder. Why are we not sealing these deals now, says Syndicate? Well, I don't know whether you were tuning in at the start, but Tchouaméni cannot happen until the back end of June at the earliest. When you look at the Real Madrid presidential elections, the manager's not been appointed yet, so I think it would take a few weeks. Mark, what is your 10 out of 10 summer out and incomings? My 10 out of 10 summer, and it's got to be real, because I could say Tchouaméni, Anderson and Tonali, which would be unrealistic, but incredible. You've got to get one of Tonali, Anderson and Tchouaméni. Let me be fair. You've got to get one of them. Don't mind Fernandez as the second midfielder. I'd like Scott, but I don't mind Fernandez. And in those circumstances, I don't mind Edison as the third midfielder either. So my midfield is sorted. My left back would be Truffert from Bournemouth. That would be who my left back would be. My backup striker, look, I don't have a name, but Ramos, Ivan Toney, Ollie Watkins, you know, someone like that. So that's five. I would still buy a winger. I would still buy a winger, an out-and-out left winger that we don't currently have, because what if Dorgu gets injured again and I don't like Cunha on the wing? So maybe the guy from Hoffenheim. I like the guy at Everton as well, but that's six. And at that point, backup goalkeeper as well, but it could be Vitek. If I'm being really greedy, I'd like a right back as well. And that for me would be a 10. That would be a 10. I'd love Nusa, yes. I mean, I would love Nusa as our winger. I think he is. I don't mention Nusa much because I'm just scared that he's going to sign for Liverpool or Chelsea or someone like that and he'll be a brilliant, brilliant player. I would love Nusa, yeah. Alan, you're blocked. Good, get out. Thank you very much. It's amazing how somebody can come on and say no updates and yet you've spent 29 minutes talking about stories that are coming out, some of them actually breaking news. If Carrick brings Rashford back, he'd lose half the fans, says JSD. And JJ says, I think Bruno Guimaraes is an easier deal than Anderson, Tonali and Tchouaméni. Although he's not a six, he ticks almost every box. He should be a top target. Look, the reason I liked Bruno Guimaraes is because he's a player that's, you know, he's basically a leader. He's a captain. he'd be a fan favourite really quickly. I just don't know why we're not looking at Bruno Guimarães. I really, really don't. Barca to bid for Julian Alvarez. They ain't going for Marcus, says Naveen. Daniel Thompson says, I think Carrick has the right idea on what's needed for the midfield, but the board need to back him. I'd love Tonali or Anderson, but I'd be very happy with Tchouaméni. Fits what we need the most, a pure six. Good morning, Daniel. Do you think Gordon deal affects Hall Tonali? We've done that one. Patrick Lynch says, getting Tchouaméni also depends on Jose Mourinho. If he likes a player, there's no way he'll leave. Given how Jose likes to set up, what is the likelihood of Madrid selling a DM either? Slim, in my opinion. I think that's a very good point as well, Patrick. And, you know, Tchouaméni talks and links to Man United did start before Mourinho had even been appointed. And if Mourinho likes him, it's over. This could be another De Jong saga, says Ginger Red. I don't think it will. I think we've just got to be a little bit patient with Tchouaméni because of the Real Madrid presidential elections. Once they're done, I think it will come out very quickly whether he's leaving or not. It's such a shame that Stiller's gone off the table, says Syndicate. And are we going for Baliba, who is like a mother-in-law? And Marlowe says, this is Sir Jim calling. I once drank a glass of champers and had a vision. The United logo on a big elephant turd and I tried to polish it till my arm fell off. Says Marlowe. Just on the financial stuff, because there's been some stuff come out around United and their financials over the last 24 hours. Obviously, I mentioned last night the very big deal that we're going to get from Betway sponsoring our training kit, £20 million a year. Other financial reports have come out around the club that are pretty good. The problem is these financial reports don't mention the debt. Apparently, we've rolled down another £100 million from the credit facility as well, which is borrowing money. So United's financials look quite good on money coming in, but we already know how that's working. You're paying for it. We made the same amount of money from 10 home games this season that we made from 15 last year. How do you make the same amount of money from 10 games that you made from 15 last year? You're paying for it. They've bumped the prices up. You're paying for Ineos being able to go, look at the profit we're making. So, you do get these people who see United's financials and go, oh, they're doing a great job. And you almost want to go, oh, God, these people are thick. Like, they are making money and you're making it for them. They're literally upping the prices and you're paying for it. Oh, well done, Sir Jim Radcliffe. Well done, Berardi. You're doing such a great job making Man United profitable by using the fans to make you profitable whilst also sitting on a big pile of debt with an owner that never puts any money in. So just remember, when you see the positive financials, remember there's a big pile of debt behind it. There's a big, big amount of millions of pounds going on debt interest every year. And also, the reason we're making money is because of you being asked to pay more. That's what's happening. So look, United will always be profitable. But the only excitement really from that will come when we don't have to keep borrowing money and we're using our profits to be sustainable. We're still massively in debt. And they don't report that. BNT says, United can use 20 million Betway deal to tempt Tonali. That's a horrible thing to say. You probably think you're being quite funny. Rashford screwed Rashford by saying only Barcelona. It's like the WWE. Brett screwed Brett. I love it, Kiel. Do you think Tuchel plays Elliot and Mainoo as a pair, says Naveen? No. So Thomas Tuchel's going to drop Declan Rice and Jude Bellingham for the World Cup? No. I think Mainoo will be cameoing in the World Cup. Ethan says, I think Edison, if we get a world-class midfielder, gives us aerial ability and physicality of Casemiro. What we lose in experience, we gain in mobility. Have you actually watched Edison, Ethan? I mean, he's nothing like Casemiro. I mean, he's not. No, don't start fooling yourself and everybody else. Edison is not Casemiro. Like, he couldn't be. He's not Casemiro. The only similarity is they're Brazilian. He's not Casemiro. He's not going to be dominant in the air like Casemiro. He's not like Casemiro. He's not going to be dominant in the tackle like Casemiro. He's more of a. Jack of all trades. He can do a bit of everything. I wouldn't say he's similar to Mainoo either. He's certainly not similar to Ugarte. I think Edison... I remember saying Man United should sign Edison I want to say 3 years ago, it might have been two, but I remember doing a show on Edison and we were having a conversation about Edison and I was saying, I think he could play as a six. And a lot of people were saying, he can't play as a six, he's an eight. And I said, I think he can be a six, although he's not a six. I think he can be a six. I think you can do a job there. And I don't think that's changed. I think Edison really is a box-to-box midfielder who, at a push, you could get him to do a six job. But he ain't Casemiro. Like, Casemiro is the definition of a holding midfielder all of his career. That is not Edison. Would you take Mateta on a free, says JSD. Also, comparing Edison to Casemiro is massively disrespectful to Casemiro, who is one of the iconic CDMs of the last 20 years. Would I take Mateta on a free? Is Mateta free? I suppose that's the first question. Mateta. 28. It'd be 29 this summer. No, he's still got a contract for another year. He's got 1 year left on his contract. So they'd still want a fee for him. I mean, he's probably available for £30 million. I don't think Man United are going to go anywhere near Mateta. I don't think they would go anywhere near Mateta for some reason. I don't know. But look, he as a second striker, it might not be a terrible idea. But again, you don't want to go from Xerxes to another striker that's just not good enough. You want to go to somebody that's capable of competing. I think that's the main thing. If we can get three twos in midfield, who would you pick? If we can get three twos in midfield, I don't know what that means, Taylor. If we can get three twos in midfield, who would you pick? Are you disappointed United accepted bet sponsors, says Sean. No, I'm not. We have worked with bet sponsors on the United Stand. That's football. I completely understand that some people don't like it, but the reality is it's a huge industry in football and most football clubs have a lot of money coming in from bet sponsors. And I respect people that don't like it, but the reality is we have got the biggest training shirt sponsorship in the Premier League at £20 million a year. And if you go through every football club's sponsors, you will probably find a fault in all of them. So no, I don't have a problem with it. I agree with United Wings. It's part of the game. The same as some people don't like alcohol or, you know, I think people have the right to make their own choices, don't they? I think Anderson is going to wait for the 115, says Matt K. Be waiting for fucking years then. That was good news for Forrest because he could be there till he's 30. Thank you very much for that. Right, okay, there's still a couple of things I need to talk about on the show this morning. Let me come back to my list here. Yeah, Manchester Evening News this morning saying that signing Edison is not going to alter the club's plan to sign a marquee Casemiro replacement. United will focus on that once Edison's transfer is complete. And look, I've not heard anything from about this, what I'm about to say. As I said last week, we got told from our source that United will make a big signing before the World Cup, and clearly that will happen. My theory is that once we've done Edison, we will relax a little bit on the second one. I think Fernandes will take care of itself. If we're going to buy three, Fernandes will take care of itself, or Baleba will take care of itself. I think we get Edison. My prediction is we get Edison, and then the club relaxes and goes, we need the marquee signing. Let's make this happen, even if it takes 2 months. So you get Edison, and then if it's Tchouaméni, it might not happen till late July, early August. If it's Anderson, it might not happen till late July, early August. That's what I think United will do. I think we'll get Edison out of the way. We'll go, look, we've done some business. People can stop moaning. We've got one of the midfielders in. Let's take our time on the next one and make sure that it's the right one. And if in the meantime, we can move on Belaber or Fernandes, we can move on Belaber or Fernandes. But I think that's how I think the summer will go. Edison will get done. We may move on Fernandes in the next few weeks, but the big deal, we'll take our time on it. That's what I think will happen. Ethan says, if anything, Casemiro was more of a box-to-box player when playing alongside Mainoo. Mainoo was deep-lying. I agree, he's nowhere near Casemiro. Also loving the show, says Ethan. Yeah, but you say Casemiro was more of a box-to-box player. I think a lot of that was down to the fact that we counter-attacked. I think that United, you know, I wouldn't say he was box-to-box. I know what you mean. If you analyse the way United played under Carrick, we played with less than 50% possession every game. So box to box to me would mean in a system like that, you do a lot of defending and then when you get the ball, you push forward to, you know, overwhelm the opposition. And I think Casemiro would do that. But a lot of his game was still, and you can see it in the numbers, a lot of his game was tackling, breaking up the play. So I think Casemiro spent the majority of his time shielding the back four, but when we did attack, he would burst forward. But you compare him to Mainoo and the defensive work and the passing, definitely more of a holder. Are Barcelona taking for us for a joke, says he. Oh, mate, Barcelona have absolutely took us for a joke. If you're a Barcelona fan, you'd be very happy with it, but they've absolutely took us for a joke. They've took Rashford on a year to utilise him. They didn't pay us anything. They just covered the wages. And then they've gone, you can have him back now. We don't need him. And I think that's sort of where we are with it. But look, there are other options there. I think from Manchester United's point of view, we'll be okay. We'll find another option. There will be other options for Rashford. There'll be people who look at what he did at Barcelona and they'll go, we like him. Maybe PSG, maybe Bayern Munich, maybe AC Milan. Somebody will want Rashford. And from Rashford's point of view, he's just got to probably move on from life in Barcelona and think, do I fancy Munich? Do I fancy Milan? Do I fancy Paris? There will be options there. And he's got a World Cup to put himself in the window as well. But as Robert McCormack said, Barcelona always held the aces, always loan or nothing. And I do think you've also got to consider Barcelona might be saying to Rashford, look, we don't want to pay for you. We don't want to give Man United any money. Why are you loyal to Man United? We don't want to give Marcus, if we give Man United 25 million, we can't keep you. If we don't give Man United 25 million, we're happy to keep you. And they might have said to Rashford, look, it's not us. We're happy to keep you, but we're not paying Man United. So we want to loan you for another year. So if you want to stay here, we will keep you. But you're going to have to get United to loan you out. And now that could go badly for us because if Rashford knows Barcelona want him and he's like, I don't care whether Alvarez or Gordon's here, I want to stay, I want to fight for my place, I'm absolutely comfortable with that, then Man United say, well, we're not loaning him for another year. And then Rashford says, well, I want to stay at Barcelona. And then Man United say, well, we'll bring you back then. Well, I'm not going anywhere else. If I come back, I'll stay with you or I stay at Barcelona. Well, Man United have got to bring Rashford back and then give him 350 grand a week. So as with last summer, Rashford and Barcelona hold the cards. Barcelona hold the cards. Depends what Rashford wants and it depends what Barcelona have said. If Barcelona say, we want you to stay, but it's only a loan, you've got to get Man United to do that loan, then we're in trouble because we either bring him back or we let him go on loan. If Barcelona don't want Rashford at all, that's a different situation where, you know, there might be some conversations with Munich, etc. How long's Rashford got left on his contract? 2028, 2 years left on his contract. So, but he's 29 in October. So he will be 30 when his contract comes up. We may never get any money for Marcus Rashford. It might be a loan tour till he runs his contract down. And if you're Rashford as well, if you do end up going on loan this summer, next summer with 1 year left on your deal, you probably want a loan anyway, because then you're out of contract at 30, and then you've got Qatar, you've got the MLS, you've got Europe as a free agent at 30 years of age. So I think if Rashford loans this year, he'll definitely loan next year, because why would you sign a new contract with 1 year left on your contract? You wouldn't do it. So it's a big summer for Rashford. As I've said, my only issue with this is, and I've said it to you before, is that we are in a situation where we need to buy 6, 7, 8 players, yeah? And if we want to buy 6, 7, 8 players, our board needs to work very, very hard every single day. And if we do that, then we can't be being distracted trying to find Rashford a club. Rashford, he could do a Sancho Mac attack, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, Rashford to Barcelona this week, it's done. Rashford not to Barcelona, and it carries on all summer. We're always having to deal with that. And that takes up time. And that's the disappointing thing, is if Rashford had gone to Barcelona, it's done. If he doesn't go to Barcelona, it's more work for Wilcox and co, which takes us off other deals that we could be doing. Taylor says, I meant 3 tier 2 midfielders. Who would you pick? Stiller, Fernandez, Scott. I don't think Edison's a tier 2. I think he's a tier 3. I think Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali, Bruno Guimarães are tier 1. I think Belabor's a tier 3. So tier 2, I would go Scott, Fernandez and Stiller. But I think we've got to go tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. I think we've got to get one of each up from the shelf. How and what will happen to Amas, Leon, both left-backs, says Matthew. I don't think you can go into next season with Amas or Leon competing with Luke Shaw at left-back. I think that's a problem, in my opinion. I don't think they're ready for that. Would Newcastle replace Gordon with Rashford, says Dean. I don't think Marcus... I personally don't think Marcus Rashford wants to come back to the Premier League. And if he wanted to come back to the Premier League, he would surely come back to Manchester United. So I don't think he wants to come back to the Premier League. No. I don't. What about Diouf at West Ham? Well, that's an interesting player, Ollie, because he's been relegated and we've not heard anything about him, and he is a left back, and that is an interesting one. I mean, I personally think Truffert's on a different level to him, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Okay, we are back at... What a show this morning, by the way. Some fantastic comments coming in, some really good conversations, as always. Kai says, zero ball knowledge because he doesn't watch Edison, only seen Stiller because of his deal with the Bundesliga. Mate, we were talking about Edison 4 years ago. I've watched Italian football since 1990. I mean, by all means, disrespect, but, you know, we were probably the only channel talking about Edison 3 or 4 years ago. So he's well known to the channel. We all know, a lot of us know about Edison. It's not a name that's just appeared in the last 3 weeks. We've done videos on Edison, analytical videos on Edison 3 or 4 years ago. So I do know who Edison is. And I also know who Stiller is as well. It's called an education. It's called going out there and, you know, finding out about players, which is actually not that difficult if you care about football and you care about Man United. So, you know, if you're a little bit insecure, that's absolutely fine. But a lot of people in this community watch a lot of football, myself included. If you think Edison's the next Casemiro, you haven't watched Edison. If you think Edison could be the next Herrera, that's what I'm sort of hoping for. I think he's coming in as a player that could be more of a Herrera than a Casemiro, which I'd be happy with. I'd be happy with that. United bid for Alvarez, experienced and cheap. Not going to happen, Z. Alvarez from West Ham. Let's stop doing that. We're talking about Julian Alvarez, the world-class striker for Atletico Madrid going to Barcelona. We're not talking about Alvarez from West Ham who used to play for Ajax. No, we're not doing that. My prediction after Edison is double deal for Fernandez and deal from West Ham, and then Belabas is Michael. That's a horrible way to end the show. Kiel says, I've got nothing against Barca. Rashford cooked for them. Thank you very much. We'll just catch up on these here. Done that one. Great stuff. Lovely stuff. There we go. Okay, 2 o'clock. Ben Jacobs will be asking a lot of questions. If there's anything you want to get asked, leave it in a comment. I'll come back in about 20 minutes and pick some out from there as well. Stay safe, everybody. Take care. I'm back with you at 8 o'clock, but I will be on the 2 o'clock show as well because it's going to be very interesting updates. Thank you very much. Stay safe.